For I received from the Lord what I handed on to you. Do this in remembrance of me. These words from Paul frame the Lord's Supper. They are words spoken in front of congregations for centuries, as the minister or priest holds the bread and the cup aloft. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians reminds us of the power of tradition. We receive from Paul what he handed on to Corinth, that which they handed on to others and down to us, as the words wash over us month after month as we celebrate the sacrament, and on this Holy Thursday as we again come to the Lord's table. All churches have traditions, but occasionally a passage of Scripture springs up that reminds us how deep the root grows. The oldest known document describing the worship of the early church is called the Didache, dating back to the 2nd century of the Common Era. Here's how the 2nd century church imagined the Lord's Supper. Even as this broken bread was scattered over the hills and was gathered together and became one, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. What a beautiful image indeed. In many ways, the church that came before us taught us how to love worship and to care deeply for its vitality and life. For I received from the Lord what I handed on to you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is what I've learned, Paul seems to tell the Corinthians here, and now I give it to you as a gift. A gift is passed across the landscape, unfettered by national boundaries or any sort of dividing wall, a free gift of love. The Lord's Supper is sometimes called the Eucharist, from the Greek word meaning thanksgiving. That is, at the Last Supper itself, Christ gave thanks, and on their part, Christians have nothing for which to be more thankful. Our Catholic friends call it the Mass, from Misa, the word of dismissal used at the end of the Latin service of Roman Catholicism. It means, this is the end, it's over. All those long Catholic prayers and aching knees during Mass, now it's out the door and back into the fresh air, back home. Now life can begin again. And that's exactly the point. It's also called Holy Communion because when feeding at this implausible table, Christians believe that they are communing with the Holy One himself, Christ's Spirit enlivening their spirits, gladdening their hearts. We are also, of course, communing with each other, even in this strange virtual environment. To eat this particular meal together is to meet at the level of our most basic humanness, which involves not only our need for food, but also for each other. I need you to help fill my emptiness, just as you need me to help fill yours. As for the emptiness that's still left over in the world, well, we're in it together to help. Maybe this is what makes us human and makes us brothers and sisters at this Lord's table. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul pulls no punches when he hears rumors of the misuses of the Lord's Supper. This too has been handed on to us. The table is a place that does not distinguish between rich and poor, the lower and upper classes. Do you not have homes to eat and drink in? Paul scowls in the verses preceding our text this evening. Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing, he says. And then Paul explains why. Jesus once gathered his friends and he took bread, telling them that this was his body, and told them to eat. He took the cup and gave thanks and told them to drink. And in doing so, he said, they proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. To proclaim the Lord's death is to acknowledge a world that crucified Jesus just days after this Last Supper of our Lord, a world that continues to perpetuate and bear unspeakable suffering in its many insidious forms. To proclaim the Lord's death is also to make a place in this world for love's resistance to social divisions of any kind, to love's answer to despair and hopelessness, to love's victory over death itself. And so on Maundy Thursday, we recall these words again, passed on to us, passed on in our speaking again tonight. We proclaim the Lord's death for you and for me and for every living creature. And so the next time you walk down the street or turn on your television, take a good look at every face you see and in your mind say, Christ died for you. That runaway teenager, that inebriated homeless man, that phony politician, that convicted felon, that tireless saint, Christ died for you. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you. Amen.